mean, you know this, there's no secret. So you're looking forward to the day. You're excited.
Yeah.
You're not just, oh God, again, another chicken, rice and broccoli to eat. The reason so many people cannot get to their goal.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Level Up podcast. Today, our special guest, Agnes, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome. So in order for us to start, I would like to highlight one thing that you more recently have been talking about, which is your recent transformation,
mm-hmm.
Because I believe this transformation is awesome in terms of like the amount of pounds that you lost, which is above 20. 22, which is around 10 kgs,
yeah.
Which happened in 12 weeks.
12 weeks, yeah.
So 3 months, 10 kgs. And you're not someone who's like overweight, right? like myself, I can lose 10 kgs. That makes a lot of sense for me. It's easy. But for you, I don't think that's an easy journey,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So if you don't mind, what's the secret?
I mean, there's no secret. So I truly believe the reason so many people cannot get to their goal because they don't have an actual goal or a why behind the goal,
mm-hmm.
because they don't have a strong, like I ask this my clients or consultations all the time, if you want to lose weight, why? Why do you want to lose weight? What is the reason of wanting to lose weight?
Mm-hmm.
And just saying that, oh, I just need to get rid of 10 kilo, for me, it's not enough. It has to be something behind it. And in terms of getting you to your goals, you need a plan. Because it's like sitting on a boat and hoping to get to your destination. You're just floating.
Where, like, you don't know where that destination is.
Exactly. So you need to have a goal. What do you want to achieve? 10 kilo fat loss, for example. Number two, how am I going to get there the fastest I possibly can so I don't have to spend my life gaining, losing, tracking calories, not tracking calories. This doesn't work, that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I would imagine, and I'm sure we're going to tap into it, how can we maintain it later on?
Yeah.
But if we talk about goal settings, like I love the direction because it's part of life, it's part of work, right? Like if you're working in a full-time job, in a full-time capacity, in a corporation, and you don't have your goals set, like companies, they do set their goals annually, or like they start with strategies, like 10-year strategy, yeah, 5-year strategy, and then annual goals, quarterly goals, monthly goals, and even weekly
goals, yeah.
Goals and achievements. If you don't know where you're going and you don't have the capabilities to measure it, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
So when it comes to setting your goals, like why did you decide on, okay, I want to lose 10 kg?
With all honesty, is one, I have spent so much time in a calorie surplus,
mm-hmm.
that I felt at one point that I'm training, I'm eating, you know, I was over 3,000 calories, but why am I doing all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months ago, if you ask me, maybe let's just say a year ago, I still wanted to compete in bodybuilding. But this year, I really figured out that this is not something that I want. I had to sit down with myself and have this conversation. Why do I want to compete?
Mm-hmm.
What is the outcome for me? And it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There was no outcome for me anymore. I did that 2018, 2019. It was great, but I think that chapter was done. So now I wanted to think about, okay, what are my next steps going to be? And I don't have a husband or a boyfriend, but my next step possibly is that I would like to have children,
mm-hmm.
and I want my body to be ready. And for me, going into pregnancy, being 10, 15 kilo overweight, I wouldn't think it's very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get into your best life before this actually best shape of your life before this actually happens. And I just wanted to look into the mirror and feel good. And like you said, I've never been overweight in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've been always very active. I've been training since I was 4 years old. I was always in part of a team and doing some sort of sports. But I just didn't feel good in my skin anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, again, I was not overweight. I was not fat or anything like that. But I just didn't feel good. And number two, I want to be an example for my friends, for my family, and more importantly, for my clients. Mm-hmm. Because saying this with the highest respect, how can I tell you how to lose weight when I don't know how to lose weight?
Yeah.
When I'm 10 kilo overweight, when I'm 20, 30, 40 kilo overweight, there's no trust in there.
Mm-hmm.
I can show you this is exactly how I did it, and this is exactly how I apply to this to my clients. So they're not only going to lose the 10 kilo or 25 or 30, whatever pound, but there's also a way of how do you actually maintaining it? Because mm-hmm. getting you to your goal, in my opinion, is the easy part. But how do you get out of that? You know, you deep dive into deficit and there's a lot of things you're doing at the end to make sure that you got to your goal. But how do you get out of it? How do you maintain it for in 5 years' time when we meet again, you're still in the same shape and not gained 25 pounds back, or most people would lose 20 pounds and then gain back 30 before they even notice.
Which I believe it's one of the biggest questions or the biggest challenges as well, because maintaining a certain diet, if we call it a diet, right? At a certain time, you get bored. Like I remember I went through a transformation around the years 2020 to 2022. I was 2 years consistent. 2 years training every day, training hard every day. Eating six meals a day, starting my morning at 6 a.m. with my first meal. Second meal was 9 a.m. I was eating rice and chicken at 9 a.m. People in the office are still coming in and they see me sitting there eating my rice and chicken. It was insane in terms of my like dedication and following the plan. But 2 years after, following that same very strict regimen, I got bored. Like I wanted to explore more stuff. I wanted to go out and eat out, and this is where I gained almost everything that I lost during those 2 years. I gained them in like 6 months or 8 months. So when it comes to maintenance, I think that this is one of the biggest challenges. So how do you tap into it? Like, would you consider that those 12 weeks that you were following a very strict diet, or is it more of a lifestyle that you are building? Because you've been maintaining for what now?
17 weeks.
And you maintained your weight?
I would say about 18 pound loss. So I gained a little bit back.
Okay.
But I about 18 pounds still.
Nice. Awesome. Down. And how does it work? Like in terms of following something that is strict and not getting bored of it?
So again, I just want to highlight this, that I'm not talking about a bodybuilder diet, okay? Because the woman I work with, they want to feel good, regardless of being naked, in a bikini, or in a dress.
Yeah.
Their goal is not to get from 70 kilo to 60, but to get to a point where I love the way I look. I love myself again, and not looking in the mirror and even dreading to take a picture and so on. So I think the first thing that again, comes to getting the results, you need to think about what is sustainable and what is maintainable for life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that eating six meals a day maintainable for me? Not anymore, because I don't want to compete in bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. I want to have a healthy and fit life. I train for longevity. I train for being a good example for, again, family, friends, and so on. So what is going to be sustainable is eating six meals a day, is eating a strict diet sustainable? No, it's not sustainable for anyone. So this is why this is same applies to my clients, set a day during the week when you go out and enjoy a meal with your friends. I don't care if it's a pizza or a burger or a steak, but you pick a day so you know that on a Friday night, you're eating out. What does this create in your head? You're looking forward to the day. You're excited.
Yeah.
You're not just, oh God, again, another chicken, rice and broccoli to eat. Good, you know. So have that day. And then plan your week around it. Be smart. How I apply this to me, and again, same for my clients. In my opinion, everybody, unless you don't like to, should have breakfast, lunch and dinner. Breakfast is when you break the fast. I don't care if it's 6 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. For me, kind of still meal one.
Yeah.
So have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Split your protein intake between these three meals. So if you require 150 grams of protein, just for easy math, have 50 grams for breakfast, 50 grams protein for lunch, 50 for dinner. And work the calories around it. I would always prioritize carbohydrate around your training, either before or either after, whatever works best for you. People normally do get to know their body quite well. I do know my body very well, and I know what works for me. So organize your food around it. Again, have lean protein sources and whole food. None of this respectfully bullshit of protein cookie and protein bar and protein crispies and protein.
Because it's a lot of processed. It's still processed food.
It is, honestly, the starter pack of I'm constantly bloated. I have digestive issues. I eat a little and I can't lose weight. No bloody wonder. All your protein is coming from a protein bar and a protein cookie and a protein, you name it. Like all the protein, you know, these companies. Swap them to, just an example for you. I eat 10 egg whites in the morning. I have 50, 60 gram of protein. Like this, under 300 calories. And then whatever you like, I eat bread with it, tomatoes, tuna, you know, what? Again, whatever someone's person preference is. So then, sorry, have your three meals. Split your protein intake in between these meals. Some people, again, like to have a bigger lunch. Some people like to have bigger dinner. It's your meal, whatever works best for you.
As long as you focus on hitting your right protein
and your calorie intake for the day.
Okay,
regardless of your calorie surplus, your maintenance calories, or your calorie deficit.
Yeah.
And pick a snack. That, again, I'm not encouraging people to eat processed food and sweets and cookies. But if you have split your calories, and let's just use 1,600 calories as an example. Okay, actually, no, 16 is quite low for even a woman. But let's say 1,800 calories. Okay, if you have three meals a day, that is 500 calories each meal, which is a really good amount of calories, you have 300 calories left. You can have a snack that is just yogurt and blueberries and some peanut butter. Or you can have a snack that is a chocolate bar. Or you can have a snack that, again, whatever the 300 calories will be. What does this help you with? You're not dreading a chicken, rice, and broccoli meal. But you actually even have a meal in the day that, again, could be around my menstrual cycle. Again, as a woman, you kind of know your cravings and how you work around it. There's some weeks when I just want to have a banana for my snack or an apple or a handful of blueberries. And before 5 days before my period, all I want is a chocolate bar. You know? Yeah. But again, I put it into my diet. So rather than you thinking about that your diet thing, I change your mindset to I'm nourishing and fueling my body in a right way, but tailored to my goal, whether that be weight loss or weight gain or maintaining.
So talking about whole foods, because I like the direction on that. When you go shopping for food, do you keep on thinking, okay, organic, not organic? You look into the labels and stuff like that, or just get what is there in the store? Because sometimes, I'm speaking about myself, I'm getting chicken. I go to this store, right? I look into the chicken and I find maybe the cheapest or whatever, and then I pick it up. But there's an amount of hormone in there. There's amount of, like, again, it's part of the industry. How do you go about finding the right pieces of food that works with your goals?
I am a country girl. So I'm from a small village. For me, organic is only that comes from my granny's garden. And I know as crazy
there's
as
no
this
such
science,
thing as organic.
I respectfully saying this, that I buy here, you know, organic products. It's nowhere near to what I get from my granny's garden.
Yeah.
I think we have this, you know, there's always a buzzword, you know, the organic, the whatever they, you know, we pick up
on. It gets commercialized.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you go to the supermarket and you have one yogurt, and that's just an easy example, one yogurt that says on it, high protein, you got this amount of protein from a pot. And the other one is just says low-fat Greek yogurt. This low-fat Greek yogurt has 11 gram of protein per 100 gram serving. The high protein, labeled high protein yogurt, has 3 gram of protein per 100 gram of serving. They still put high protein on it, and this brand did not put anything on it, just said, actually, I'm just Greek yogurt here.
Yeah.
Again, respectfully, is misleading people. It's the marketing, how you market a product. So yes, you can definitely get, you know, organic products from a supermarket. And yes, I would like to go for as organic as I possibly can. But I fear sometimes here when I see, local raised product, and I'm kind of thinking only local thing in Dubai is cameras and dates. How can a chicken be local here? How can some products be low? You know, it's here. I think it's very hard. It's so much easier in Europe, and it's so much easier, like, again, I say at home, because my parents would pick up from butcher farms my steak and chicken and eggs. So they would go to, you know, this lady, and they'd be like, right, okay, we need 100 eggs for this week. And we know that is actually coming from her little, you know, chicken farm. While here, you don't really know. It was just labeled up as obviously organic or, you know, whatever label it got. But I try to, like, that's another advice that I can give to anyone is eat whole food. Eat real food, potatoes, rice, broccoli, cauliflower, green beans, strawberry, raspberry, and so on. Try to avoid as much as you can processed food. Now, again, I'm not meaning here not to, because like I said, have that little snack. Sometimes it's a chocolate, sometimes you have yogurt. Like, have that option. But the moment I swapped, and again, my diet, you know, 5 years ago looked like my snack was a protein bar. I cannot even eat protein bars anymore. My digestion just goes off. My tummy cannot handle it. So the more you can cut out artificial and processed, the better you're actually going to feel. So yes, please, if you can, focus on organic and whole food when you're in a supermarket.
Real food.
But also understand the label. Understand what you buy. Don't just go for commercial and the marketing. Have an understanding of what am I actually buying.
Awesome. That's so great. And we have been talking about the nutrition aspect, right? When it comes to training, and that's something like for those listening or watching, I've seen you train in the gym, right? So I go to the gym every day, 8 a.m. I see her with her bag, right? Her gym bag. Already halfway through her training, okay? I finish my training at 8:45, 8:50. I train like for 45 minutes, 50 minutes. I go, I shower, I pick up my stuff, I leave. You're still there training. So and you do that every day, consistently.
So I train weights 4 times a week.
Okay.
And every other day I do cardio.
Okay.
Okay, so my weight routine.
I was about to tell you, like, I see you every day in the gym, so it's not only 4 days. Yeah. But now I understand. So yeah, it's for weight training or like strength training, and then every other day cardio.
And I would say my cardio is more of an active recovery. Okay, like I said to you, I've been always active my whole life.
Yeah.
And when I really wanted to go for this, you know, bodybuilder career, that you have a very, very strict routine of, you know, how much cardio you do, and you're putting calories in, and you're trying to gain weight and so on. And I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I don't want to do cardio because I have to do cardio. So when I finished my cut, I started to do sprints. Okay, I just set a goal for myself. I don't have to be the fastest, but I always set a goal that like, you either do it very well or just don't do it at all.
Okay.
There's no option for you to be second and participate in something. For me, it's the only option is becoming the best of it. So I started to do sprints, you know, just first like 15 seconds and then, you know, whatever. And in the machine, in the gym, for example, I maxed all the machines now.
Okay.
Like, I'm faster than the machines.
Nice.
Okay. And I do it because I love it. So my cardio has become, oh my God, I love this. But in my opinion, you need to be careful with the demographic as well, because I only do 5 to 10 rounds of these sprints. 30 seconds on, 30 off. High intense to low, high intense to bit of recovery. And for someone who's really under stress, this could spike their cortisol. So in as an example, I just try to do short and sharp, only 5 rounds, 5 minutes. Because 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off. But going back to my training, so my leg sessions, because I train legs 3 times a week and only one upper body, it does look like I'm there for quite long because, you know, legs takes a little bit longer. So it's like an hour and 30 minutes, hour and 40 minutes. And then I would do maybe some steps and a bit of core because I try to do core every single day now. Before that it was different, but now I do core every day. It does look like I'm there for quite long, but I'm actually not. Like, I wouldn't train longer than for two hours.
So you like to recover between exercises for as long as you can? If that's
4 weeks, yes.
Okay.
So that's like another thing that I see with women, that when you give them a recovery or rest period of like 3 minutes, and what they do in these 3 minutes, burpees, tug jumps and star jumps. And I'm like, why?
That's not recovery. Yeah.
Oh, because they want to burn more calories. Oh. So you need to, again, this is a mindset shift. You don't go to train to burn calories. If you want to lose weight, you don't need to go to the gym. You can just eat in a calorie deficit and go for walks every day. But if you want longevity, if you want to build muscle, muscle is medicine. And I think, again, as a woman, it's the most important organ that you can have in your body. The more muscle tissue you have, the less likely you're going to get injured and have issues when you're older. You go to the gym to build healthy muscle tissue. You don't go to the gym to burn calories. You burn calories by sitting here. You burn calories by simply being goodbye. Exactly. They just need to be alive for all your body to work. But don't go to the gym to burn calories. Go to the gym because you want to get stronger. This is why it's so important you have a plan that you repeat. Ideally, I would say to everyone between 4 to 8 weeks and improve. If you started on 10 kilo squat, go for 15 and 20 and 30 and 40 and so on, and improve in the next 8 weeks coming or 6 weeks coming as much as you possibly can. Set a goal for yourself. If you hit hip thrust 100 kilo for 10 last week, do 110 kilo this week, do 120 kilo this week. Don't go into, did I burn 500 calories or 400 calories? 5 years ago, I would genuinely, if I forgot my watch, I would go into an Apple store and buy a new one so I could track how I trained. Now, I don't care. I don't care how many calories I'm burning because I'm not going to the gym to burn calories. Nice. I'm going to the gym to get stronger and build the physique.
And this is something I guess you can, of course, you have to measure, but you also get the feeling of it. Like, there are some days where I train and I feel I did a good workout today. I enjoyed it. And some other days, no, that workout wasn't good. So there's a feel aspect to it as well.
Yes, but maybe that's my Eastern European brain, that for me, feelings, I don't care how I feel. The job needs to get done. If we set the goal for this week to hit, I don't know, 150 kilogram on hip thrust for 15, get the job done. Don't worry about how you feel. The goal is the same. Just follow the plan. Make sure that you're sticking to the plan. And this is why I think it's so important to have a plan. Not just, you know, again, especially when it comes to women, they go to the gym, they walk around for 10 minutes, what machine is free, what can I do, jump on a treadmill. And we all started there. So I'm not seeing this in an arrogance way. It's just, this is how we all start. But you need to have a plan. One, it just breaks the ice so you know what you're doing. Two, you're in and out. You're more likely going to worry about what other people think because you know what you're doing. Let's just walking around hoping for, ooh, it's machine, you know, freeze up, or this machine freeze up, and so on.
Nice, and so that's going to take us into your coaching philosophy. So you have been working with clients. I believe you only coach online, if I'm not mistaken,
only
right?
Yes, online. Yeah.
So all online. First, before we talk about your coaching philosophy, what would In terms of the business itself, would be a key differentiator between online and face-to-face coaching, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it's very different. I think now, and maybe I'm going to kind of talk against myself, but now a lot of people are like, oh, nobody needs a personal trainer, just go online, and all these mentors, you know, like, oh, come off the floor. I think we need personal trainers on the gym floor. And let's just go, and I'm just going to use my own mother as an example. Would I send my mom to the gym with a plan when she has no idea how to use the machines?
Yeah.
Absolutely never.
Yep.
I would not even let her touch anything before I know she can lift properly with correct technique and she knows how to use the machines. Mm-hmm. Yes, people can always do a bit of research on, you know, how this works and how that works, but every single gym...
It's not like when you have a coach with
exactly.
you.
So I think personal trainers are incredible. I used to coach on the gym floor as well. And again, let's just go to, sorry, I only talk about women, but mm-hmm. as a woman, what if you're pregnant? Mm-hmm. What if you're post-pregnant? What if you're, you know, in a sense, pre-pregnant? What if you have an injury? What if you're older? What if you had a knee surgery? You need personal trainers to help you there. Not everyone, because I work with clients who trained their whole life, had a knee surgery and had a knee injury, they can train online still or kind of coaching them online. I don't need to be standing there because they have a history of they know how to squat and how to deadlift and how to lunge and so on.
Yeah.
But not everyone. So I think we need personal trainers on the gym floor. I think they are incredible to, you know, help clients to get from A to B. And it's like, you know, the same as you progress when you go to school. You're on year one and then you go to year two. I feel getting to start with a personal trainer is very, very important.
Yeah. Actually, like two topics out of my head because I have those discussions quite often. One is I get a lot of inquiries, right, for our platform that people get to ask me, I want to get started. Okay, good. How do I get started online? Start by your existing clients. Like if you have a client, start putting them on the system, putting them on the platform, giving them the workout program that they have to follow on days that you're not giving them sessions. Give them the meal plan on the platform, get them used to it, get them to do some referrals for you. And they cut me off and I was like, no, I don't have clients. I was like, okay, like you're a personal trainer, right? Yeah, but I don't have clients offline and they want to start online. Right. And I was like, no, it doesn't work that way. You actually have to have the reps. You have to have experience on the gym floor, coaching people, transforming people, realizing your mistakes and realizing what works and what doesn't work. And then when you gain that amount of experience and you're so busy on the gym floor, this is when, okay, maybe I need to switch a bit of my work online and start to try to grow and scale my online.
Yeah.
And so when someone comes to me and they want to get started in online coaching and they have no clue about face-to-face coaching, I'm like, no, stay in the gym floor, get your reps, get your work, and then let's talk afterwards.
So I
see this a lot. And especially again, our platform is mainly for online coaching. When people ask me, like, who do I train with and this and that? Did you ever train before? No. Did you go to the gym before? No. Which gym are you, like, a membership? Then go to that gym and try to find a coach there first.
Yeah.
Like, as someone who's fairly a beginner, train with someone, learn it, and then later on at a certain stage, and again, commercially, if you think about it, online coaching costs much better for clients than a coach in the gym.
Oh, yes. It's
so it makes more sense that you get to learn, you get to build the habit, you get to understand what you need to do. And then at a certain time, if you want to cut a bit of cost, right, switch online. Because now you know you just are looking for the accountability, you're looking for the guidance, you're looking for the planning, etc.
Yeah.
So back to that, like I do believe those are like two main differences between online and face-to-face. But when it comes to, because it's also one of the things I feel is a bad perception when it comes to coaching, right? Is that people think it's just about the workout program and the meal plan. And again, like we were talking about ChatGPT before we started, anyone can go to ChatGPT, hey, build me a workout program, 12-week, my goal is this, I want to do that, build me a meal plan, and it will get you the perfect workout program and meal plan.
So my perspective on this is, I say this in a consultation call. You can go online right now, find a meal plan, and find a training program. You're not paying us for your program. You're joining for the services. You're joining for the accountability. You're joining for human interaction. Cannot be replaced with AI.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a lot of things with AI. And I truly believe it's, you know, kind of the future for us now. But you cannot ignore human interaction. Because, again, an example for you as a woman. What happens when things goes to shit and you're around your menstrual cycle and you gained overnight 4 pounds? What do you do without help? What do you do with Google? Is Google going to message you to say, these are the reasons why you have perhaps gained 4 pounds overnight. These are the things we're going to be implementing for the next few days coming up. And this is how we're going to hold you accountable. Is Google going to do it? No. No one's going to do it unless you have someone, that person who's going to hold you accountable, that person who's going to tell you. Even just with me, I jumped on a call with a client the other day who's going through a breakup and heartbreak and so on. There's lots of emotions in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just something that you can ask ChatGPT, what do I do when I'm going through a breakup and I just want to eat all my feelings. It doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think, you know, AI is great. And again, you can get a lot of things from it. And please go ahead right now, download a training program, download a nutrition plan.
And follow it and you're going to get results.
Yeah.
But
are you going to follow it?
Yeah.
Are you going to stay consistent?
Yeah.
Even the days when, you know, giving up is easy. Just give up. Give up right now.
Mm-hmm.
How easy it is to give up on anything. Just give up. Why are you carrying on with anything that is hard in your life? Just give up, walk away. No one cares. But you, deep inside you know that this is not how you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need someone who's gonna hold you accountable, unless you're very strong and you're very experienced and you can hold yourself accountable, which I haven't met many people like that.
No, I don't think, like, maybe someone exists like this, but I feel, and there's a say, every coach needs a coach, right?
Yeah,
like
I have my coach.
Yep.
I have my business coach. I have my
training fitness coach, or fitness coach.
And yep. I have a therapist, you know, like we all have it.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe not something that we, you know, are best to talk about on a daily basis, but like my coach, and I'm just going to talk about him for a second, but Kuba tells me all the time, time is so valuable. It's going to pass regardless you're going to put the work in, regardless you just want to give up, or regardless you just want to be floating around. But time will pass.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use it. And again, if you're talking about a transformation and you want to get it done the sooner you possibly can, use that time. Set a goal. What is the goal? Pound every week. Right, let's do this then. And then we tailor, we move things around how the weeks are passing, because we have our weekly check-ins, we have our weekly, you know, review, we have personally us reaching out to clients 3 to 4 times a week. Are you on track? Is mm-hmm. everything okay? Can we help you with anything? Because it's not easy. Even sometimes when you have a set goal and a set plan, sometimes it's hard to obviously follow.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Like if you put a goal, it doesn't mean you're going to achieve it every week. So what is the corrective action? What do we do about it?
Exactly.
How do we fix it? And that's in life. That's in work. Typically in any agile environment, you set your goals and then you check the boxes. What did we achieve? What didn't we achieve? How can we make it work next time?
Yeah.
What can we do in our planning to make it better? So it's always like this is what we experience every day in work. So why don't we experience the same thing when it comes to our health.
Yeah. And you know, so to get in just a little thing about, I also believe the way you look, the way I look, is the byproduct of our daily habits. Regardless you're overweight, you're underweight, or you're in your perfect weight, it's your daily habits, what you're doing day in and day out. And when anyone is like, oh, I just want to lose weight, start changing your habits. It's not just the training. Mm-hmm. It's not just the nutrition. But look at your sleep. You go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning because you're 4 hours scrolling through social media and doing God knows what. And then no wonder you cannot wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning for the gym. I couldn't wake up if I was scrolling through my phone till 2 o'clock in the morning. Look at your stress. Look at what are you actually doing to manage your stress? Most people would say nothing. Mm-hmm. Most people would say, have a drink after work, because that's going to take
that
stress
release
away.
My, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But even if you know that it's actually going to make it a lot worse than what it is.
Yeah.
Or emotional eat, stress eat.
Mm-hmm.
These are the two things that I come across with on a daily basis, and women tell me these are the ways that they're trying to manage their stress.
Mm-hmm.
When we both know that's actually making stress even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than looking at some crazy plan, look at your look at your eating habits. Do you believe, ask yourself the question, because I cannot answer for anyone, do you believe that you're eating right for your health, your hormones, and your performance? Do you genuinely believe you're working with your body? Those of women having PCOS and hormonal imbalances,
mm-hmm.
no wonder. Look at what you eat every day.
Mm-hmm. And do you believe the concept of social eating? Like, because I feel this term is being thrown around to just try to encourage people on not following a proper plan.
Okay, so, I'm going to get shit for this, but I'm going to have to say this. So there's two things about social eating. And right now on social media, it's very common that girls with a little bit of extra weight on, you know, holding their belly and shaking it and showing to other girls that, you know, this is fine and whatever. Body positivity made most women gain 10 to 20 kilogram.
Mm-hmm.
Body positivity and being lazy is not the same. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. And I feel disheartened, and I really fear for these girls who are encouraging you to, that's okay, you gained 5 kilo. No problem, gain another 5. It's not okay. I'm a coach. I'm not your friend.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you that you're fighting and you're putting yourself in your health in danger, your health, your hormones, your future family in danger by gaining all this weight, because that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's no problem to gain this weight. I'm not, again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not, we all have, you know, a little bit weight on or whatever, but don't encourage each other. So, and I have talked about this before. When we go out for social events,
mm-hmm.
how many times both of us got the comment, oh, you don't eat like us. No, I actually, and now I stand up for myself. No, I don't, because I don't want to look like you.
Mm-hmm.
You take it as you want. If the shoe fits, wear it. If you know that you're in a great shape, then you're not going to take it offensive. If you know that you should be possibly losing 10 kilogram, you will take it offensive. Then you should be doing something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I encourage all my clients at least once a week, socialize.
Mm-hmm.
Social events are a very important part of being human and interacting with people. We got Halloween coming up. We got Thanksgiving just passed in Canada on Monday. We got US Thanksgiving coming up. We got Christmas coming up. We got all these Christmas events and dinners and lunches and business things coming up with many clients. In fact, I have clients who are going out for business dinners 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to learn to work around them. I encourage everyone to have a social life and go out for a meal. But make a plan around it. And don't just treat it that day as, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to do my little, you know, and don't call it a cheat day. Don't mm-hmm. call it a cheat day. Don't call it a cheat meal, because I don't want anyone to create this mindset of, for me, cheating means you're doing something wrong.
Wrong.
This is not correct. Yeah. Treat it as, again, like I said, let's say an example, we bank calories with clients. So if you know you're going out on Saturday night and you're going to go to a place that you can't really easily track. Like if you go to a steak place, they even tell you how much steak you're having, so you can easily track it. And this is what I do. I just go for steak because it's easy for me to track. But if you're having pizza or pasta, allocate 1,000 calories, let's be honest, because it's not going to be below 1,000 calories. Mm-hmm. Be smart with alcohol. Do you want to drink empty calories? Be ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just eating, let's say, 1,000 calories worth of meal, bank 200 calories Monday to Friday. Here you go, your 1,000 calories. You didn't ruin anything. Yes, next day, because of the carbohydrate intake and every carb molecule we hold into 4 grams of water molecule, your body weight will be a little bit higher. But give yourself a couple of days, 3 days, 4 days, and your water retention goes down and then you're good. But go out, socialize, be with friends. But don't misunderstand feeling sorry for each other and eating your feelings and not being prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love that. And I feel this is one of the drawbacks or negativity that comes with social media, or because I don't know, when you keep on getting the same message over and over again, it starts to develop something in you. But if you're not mindful enough and you don't know what is right for you and what is wrong and how to follow it and how to live around it,
yeah,
that becomes too tricky. So,
and you know, again, I just really want to speak as of me, that I was not overweight. And you know, so many people are like, oh, you're good like this. I don't care what you think. Mm-hmm. I genuinely don't care what you think, because this is not how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
When you look into the mirror and you don't feel good about yourself, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
And being a woman, or even being a man, I'm sure there's a lot of men looks into the mirror and thinking, gosh, you know, this is not how I want to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Change it. Everything is within your power. Change it. But have a plan. Start doing something about it. Even if it's just as little as, okay, this week I'm going to do an extra 3,000 steps every day. This week I'm going to drink 2.5 liters of water. And this week I will pay attention on adding a little bit more protein into my days. Even if you're not even tracking yet, just start doing something about it.
I love that. I love that. And if you would give someone practical advice, someone who's just starting out or having the self-actualization or realization that, okay, I want to change something. And what would be a takeaway from today's podcast, or what would be a small piece of advice or a starting point for someone who decides, okay, I want to make a change. I'm not happy. I want to put a plan. Maybe they can't afford a personal trainer right now, but they want to start with something. What would be your one piece of advice or two pieces of advice? This is what you need to do today.
Okay. It depends on the goal as well. Are they want to lose weight? Are they want to gain muscle and so on? But I'm just going to talk in general.
Mm-hmm.
Most women I work with, they want to be more toned, mm-hmm, and they want to lose a little bit of weight.
Mm-hmm.
If you have absolutely no idea today what to do, honestly, do these three things for the next 3 to 4 weeks coming up. One, like I said, increase your activity level.
Mm-hmm.
If you currently, and you can have a watch that tracks it, your phone, your, I don't know if you have a ring, you know, whatever. And if you're at the moment doing 5,000 steps every day, increase it to 8. Make sure every single day you complete this. But make sure that you organize a bit of time in your calendar. Because if you're a busy mom with 2-3 children, and you know, you're in the office and then you're running and taking the kids, you're going to be either sitting in an office or driving around.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up 20 minutes earlier. I know it doesn't feel good, but it doesn't feel good to look into the mirror and don't like yourself. Mm-hmm. So do something about it. Increase your steps. Number two, start paying attention on how much protein you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Again, even if you're not tracking at the moment, but start adding more protein into your meals. I would say hit 30 to 40 grams of protein per meal minimum. Want to make a note, 100 gram of chicken is not 100 gram of protein.
Yeah.
I heard this before, yep. So just be aware. And number
and 100 gram of, and cooked versus uncooked as well.
Oh, yes, exactly. That's another story. And start drinking more water.
Mm-hmm.
And really try to drink as little as you can, the normal Coke, the frappuccinos and all the empty calories that comes from Starbucks and all these whatever coffee shops.
Mm-hmm.
Drink as much water as you can and swap all these drinks to perhaps a sugar-free one.
Okay.
And that's already going to help you with increasing your energy expenditure, decreasing your overall calories, because if you just swap a Coke to a Diet Coke, you already decrease by 300 calories.
Yeah.
And by increasing your protein intake for the day, you will be feeling fuller. You will be more satisfied, which will lead you to less snacking.
Nice.
Because you're actually eating food. And that's another story that I can talk about forever, but eat food. Stop snacking.
Mm-hmm.
Stop getting your breakfast from coffee shops that is a drink, that it's a dessert, because I think you're just drinking a dessert and you're having a caramel waffle for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, I'm skipping breakfast today, I just have a coffee, which has 3 times more calories than if you were just having a normal
meal,
normal breakfast. Eat food and you're going to snack less.
So three things, steps, more steps, eat protein, food, and focus on protein.
Yeah. And so eat more whole food and protein, or best, mm-hmm, increase your protein and water.
And water.
Because that's, nice, again, if you're not drinking enough water, can mess up with your hydration. Dehydration can cause digestive issues and obviously injuries as well.
Okay.
And not even talking about your hair, your nails, your skin, and so on. So you need to stay hydrated for the day.
Super, super. Awesome. So we have a couple more minutes
left.
And I wanted to ask you, if you were to consider what your future goals are or what your future projects are for the next 5 years, what would you consider? Like, if you want to summarize what your goals are in the next 5 years?
Personal goals or business goals? Sorry.
Whatever you want to discuss.
So us in, I mean, consider myself as a fitness professional. I would just love to spread the word to more women. That, again, I know most women will obviously want to lose weight, but everybody wants to lose weight, but no one wants to do their steps. Nobody wants to eat more protein. Nobody wants to eat whole food. Nobody wants to drink more water. So I just want to spread the word with being and having a healthy lifestyle doesn't always just mean you only can eat chicken, rice and broccoli. But you need to work around your situations and you need to work around your lifestyle. Because my lifestyle compared to yours is very different. I don't have kids. I don't have a partner. You know, I can easily stick to mine. So work around your lifestyle situations. And I genuinely just want to have more women. I really just want to have more women to understand again that it's really optimizing your health is very complex. It's not just you need a training program. You need a meal plan. The last thing you need is a meal plan. Well, you need to understand obviously what you're eating. So yeah, we just want to influence and have more, you know, women and just and really understand that for longevity, it's so much more than just, you know, eating
training and chicken, eating. Rice, oh, and there's, broccoli. There's a lot more into it.
And then I could, you know, there's so much to talk about sleep. There's so much to talk about stress. So much to talk about even things like recovery. But one thing is stay consistent. And anyone has to stay consistent regardless of what their goal is and learn a bit of discipline. I want to spread that you have to learn discipline. Discipline doesn't just appear in your day. It's something that you practice.
You have to practice.
You know, you've been day in and day out and then see where it takes you. But I'm sure it takes you to amazing places.
Nice. Awesome. Agnes, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And we have to do this again.
Yeah, please. And like I said, there's so much I can talk about stress and sleep because that's so, when we look at women optimizing their health, I really believe there's more pillars to it than just you need to train to whatever.
Yep, we'll do that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I'll speak to you soon.
If you like this episode, please like and subscribe and hit that notification bell.